Marriage Today presents The Power Secrets of Prayer by Jimmy Evans.
This message is called this morning, The Power Secrets of Prayer, and talking about the things that make our prayers less effective and more effective. And I especially want to focus on the things that make our prayers more effective. But let me begin by talking about four things that hinder our prayers. When we're praying, we don't want to waste our time. And so we want to make sure that when we're praying, there's nothing that's going to keep God from answering our prayers. There are some things, though, the Bible says, keep God from answering our prayers. The number one is not praying according to God's will. Is God loves us too much to give us something that's not good for us. And so when we're not praying according to God's will, God's not going to answer that prayer. Now, did you know that Jesus one time did not pray according to God's will? Jesus one time prayed a prayer that was clearly against the will of God. Does anybody remember when that was? Say it again. Yeah, Garden of Gethsemane. Is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. He prayed that prayer three times, and what he was praying was, if there's any other way for mankind to be redeemed rather than me dying on the cross, I don't want to die on the cross. What was God's answer? No. Jesus looked up. His betrayers were coming. He saw the torches of his betrayers coming his way. And he knew that God had said no. But he prayed a very passionate prayer that was not according to God's will, that God didn't answer. But in the midst of his prayers, he said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And so it's an honest thing sometimes that we're praying, and we may not be praying according to the will of God, but as we're praying, we're asking God, if this is not your will, show me your will. And this is what 1 John says, 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And so this is the confidence that we have. The more we know we're praying according to the will of God, the more confident that we can be in our prayers. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to say, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Part of prayer is asking God to reveal His will to us. And the more we know of God's will in the Bible, but also the Lord speaking to our hearts, the more we know that we're praying according to the will of God, the more confidence that we have. The second reason that God does not answer prayers is we're praying according to God's will, but we're not in the timing of God. There are always two elements to what God's going to do, and that is His will, but His timing. How many of you know that Jesus was out of the timing of God one time? Bad out of the timing of God. Anybody remember when that was? This is interactive this morning. You're being tested. You're not doing great, but you're being tested. Okay. I don't want to tell you what happens if you flunk. But anybody remember when Jesus was out of the timing of God? He was 12 years old, and he stayed back in Jerusalem. His family visited Jerusalem for the annual feast. And when his family went home, Jesus believed it was time for his ministry to begin. And his mother started looking for him several days later and came and found him in the temple. And there he was. And she said, Son, what in the world do you think you're doing? And he said, Mother, I've got to be about my Father's business. And of course, he was wrong. She was right. The women are always right. He was 18 years off. It was 30 years. He was 30 years old, 18 years later. And guess who told him when his ministry began? Mary. They were at a wedding. And she said, Son, they're out of wine. And turned to him like, you know how you do it at home? You know, you like create the chicken? You know how you do that when we're out of food? Is that, like it wasn't the first time it ever happened. And she looks at him and says, they're out of wine. And he said, Woman, my hour has not yet come. And she's like, well, actually it kind of has. You know, it's... And it had. That's when it all started, the record of Jesus' public ministry. So the point being, even Jesus was out of the timing of God, but it was sincere. He was passionate. He wasn't in rebellion. He wasn't in sin. He just wanted something to happen that was out of the timing of God. Abraham and Sarah did the same thing. They were old folks. I mean, they were old. They were 90 years old. Had not had a child. God promised them a child. And you know how deeply they wanted a child at that point in their lives. And they rushed it. They waited for a while. God didn't answer in their timing. And then Sarah came and she said, hey, I think I've got a solution. Maybe you're supposed to have relations with my handmaid Hagar here. He did. Ishmael was born. It was not the will of God. And listen, the bad part of it was God made them wait for 13 years until Ishmael became 13 years old until they could have Isaac. God wanted Abraham to be faithful to that boy until Isaac, the son of the promise, was born. And so there's no doubt about the fact that their rushing God's hand delayed God's answer. And that's exactly what happens. Part of yielding in prayer is we're praying and we're saying, God, not only am I asking for you to reveal your will for me, because I know your will is always going to be best for me because you love me, I also want your timing. Now I want you to listen to me. When God isn't doing anything, he's doing something. In those years of delay, between the years of 12 and 30 for Jesus, what was God doing? Well, the Bible says that Jesus was growing in stature and favor with God and man. Jesus wasn't ready at 12 years old. He was the Son of God, but he wasn't ready as the Son of Man. He wasn't ready yet. Joseph received a dream at 17 years old that he would rule the world. It didn't happen until he was 30 years old. And so for 13 years, God wasn't doing anything. But in those 13 years, God was doing something. He was forging the character in a young man who was going to have a tremendous amount of responsibility put on him. And so sometimes it's not God's timing yet, but it's not that God isn't doing anything. God's doing something. He's forging our faith, forging our character. He's preparing us to be recipients of the promise. Because listen to me, you're more precious to God than anything he can give you. And he's not going to give you something out of his timing that you're not prepared for yet. And so he's always dealing in the right time frame. I heard someone say one time that God is never late, but he sure blows a lot of opportunities to be early. He's just always on time, isn't he? And there just comes that point that you say, God, I'm praying for your will to be done, but I'm also praying, God, for this to happen in your timing, and teach me patience, Lord, to wait on you properly. Number three reason that prayers are not answered is because we have unconfessed sin in our lives. Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The word iniquity means sin, but it also means long-term sin. It means like a lifestyle of sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayers. And so when we pray, we have to be honest with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word confess there is the word Greek word homologeo. And homo means same, legeo means word. It just means if we will agree with God about our behavior, if we'll just be honest about what we're doing, God will cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Jesus told this parable, Luke 18. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus taught humility and honesty in prayer. And so it's such a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know when we pray, it doesn't matter how many bad things we've done, if we'll just be honest before God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they're all forgiven and will never come up again in all of eternity. Isn't that a good deal? Isn't it a good deal that we have an ear before the God of the universe every time that we have a need? And it's not our righteousness. None of us have the ability of our own righteousness to go before God. But by the blood of Jesus, his throne of grace is opened. And it doesn't take perfection or even performance. All it takes is honesty and sincerity. And so whenever we regard iniquity in our hearts and we will not confess sin and deal with sin, God will not hear our prayers. He's a heart kind of a God, and he will not deal on a superficial level. And let me say, God's especially sensitive to the issue of unforgiveness, because just about every time Jesus taught on prayer, he taught on unforgiveness. So we have to forgive. Number four reason that God does not answer prayers is because we have mistreated others or have not treated them properly. God will not let us disassociate our relationship with him from our relationship with every other type of person. 1 Timothy 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, and talking about their wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. When one spouse mistreats the other, a husband to the wife, or the wife to the husband, it affects our relationship with God. You're never doing better with God than you are with people. It's unfortunate. It's just true. 1 John 4. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked and sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. There isn't a human being that you can mistreat or not treat as God would when you have the opportunity, and then turn around and have a relationship with God, even though you're not treating other people well. The Bible teaches us, even the least of the people that we come in contact with, that we're responsible for those people. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to solve all the evils of the world for us to have a right relationship with God. You know when your conscience is telling you you've done something wrong. You know when the Bible tells you how to treat people and when you fall short of that. So it's a very important issue. Let me talk about the four power secrets of prayer. Those are some of the things that can hinder prayer. Let me tell you four things the Bible says that helps prayer. The number one thing is a word that is called importunity. And what this means is a tenacious, persistent type of faith that moves the hand of God. This is Jesus. And in Luke 11, this is a place where Jesus tells us how to pray the Lord's Prayer, right at the end of telling us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. This is the story Jesus tells. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and you will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. In the Greek tense there, it's ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. I've heard a teaching before, and it's a pathetic teaching, but I heard this teaching one time that said, if you pray a prayer more than one time, that's unbelief. If you pray a prayer and you really have faith, it means you'll only pray that prayer one time. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is you grab onto the gates of heaven and you shake till you get an answer. And you don't give up on God. You don't turn back. This is what Jesus says in Luke 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Jesus says you ought to always be praying and not lose heart. And he tells a story, and this is not an accurate story related to us and God. God is not an unjust judge. And in those days, a widow, what it meant is women were property. Women had no social status, and they did not have equal rights. And a widow was at just the bottom of the social heap financially and socially. He's telling a story about a hard-hearted judge and a woman who had no social clout whatsoever, but she got her way because of persistence. And he said, now then, if that's what happened to an unjust judge and a widow, how much more will God avenge those who cry out to him day and night? And this is how you build your faith. When we first get saved and we're babies in the faith, God is very gracious to us. And many things just kind of fall into your lap. You know, there are just times that God, there are seasons in our lives sometimes where there's just extreme grace where things fall into our laps. There are other times in our lives, many times in our Christian lives, when it doesn't fall into our laps. And what God is doing is not being cruel. What God is saying to us is, grow up. It's time for you to stop being a child, and it's time for you to become a man and a woman of God. And the way you do that is you exercise your faith. And we lift weights and we have resistance. And when we lift weights and we do this resistance, what happens is, though it may be painful for the moment, it builds our muscles and we grow stronger. It's exactly the same way in prayer. When you go to prayer and you pray and you pray and you pray and you hang on to God and you pray and you pray and you pray, your spirit gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then the answer comes and you didn't get an answer to prayer. You got a stronger spirit in the meantime. There's a reason for this. And it also demonstrates our faith. And we're not coming with some pathetic little wimpy prayer that just says, God, I'm down here and I'm having a hard time. Wouldn't you help me? You know, and if you don't help soon, I've got to call the psychic hotline. You know, I mean, if they're psychic, they ought to be calling us. You know, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're my only answer. I'm not going anywhere else, and I'm shaking the gates until I get my answer. Importunity accelerates answer to prayer because it reveals our faith in God and that we're not going anywhere else. Number two thing that helps prayer is praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for what we pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Is that we need help in prayer. And so the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers by praying with an utterance that's too deep for our natural language. And He always prays according to the will of God. And that's one of the greatest benefits of praying in the Spirit is you're always praying God's will. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands Him, however, in the Spirit He speaks mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And I have prayed in tongues now for 30 years. I'm just telling you, it is a transforming experience. It's one of the most important things that we do in prayer. By the way, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now listen to me. There are three types of speaking in tongues. And you need to understand the three types because people get confused when they don't understand the three different types of tongues. The number one type of tongues is the miracle of languages that happened on the day of Pentecost. And they were all speaking in tongues, but all the people around from these other countries, could everyone hear them speaking in their own language? I've never experienced that. I've read it in the Bible, and I've heard of it happening on the mission field with people. I don't know if it has. I've heard of it happening. It's called the miracle of languages. It happened on the day of Pentecost. The second type of speaking in tongues happens in a church meeting. And I've experienced not only an utterance in tongues, but I've had the interpretation to an utterance of tongues. And I think it happens a lot more in small meetings, like a life group meeting or a smaller meeting, than in this type of meeting. But I've seen this happen. It's a prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 both talk about a tongue with an interpretation. In fact, it says, don't speak in tongues by yourself in a church meeting unless you have an interpretation. It's okay if we're all praying in the Spirit or we're all singing in the Spirit. But if we clearly enunciate tongues by ourselves, there ought to be an interpretation that follows because that's like a prophecy. That's the second type of speaking in tongues. The number one type and the number two type of speaking in tongues makes up about 2% of speaking in tongues. 98% of all tongues is a private prayer language. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. When I speak in tongues, I don't speak to you. I'm speaking to God. In my mind is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. But in the realm of the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. This is the language of God that is coming out of me. And he says, my understanding is unfruitful. And he says, the outcome then is I'm going to pray with my mind, and I'm going to pray, which means I'm going to pray prayers that I can understand, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to sing with my mind. I'm also going to praise God in the Spirit. Now, I want you to listen to me. When you say, well, what's the importance of praying in tongues? Let me tell you what the importance is. Okay, let's just say you're going to pray right now, and you've got your prayer list. And I have my prayer list when I pray. And I have a journal that I write in what God's doing in my life, what God's saying to me, and I have that prayer journal. And I write down the things that are on my heart that I know about. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let's say the top 10 people in your life right now that you care about. What's happening to those people right now? Okay. You don't know. You have no idea. And you say, well, they're sitting next to me. Yes, I do know. No, you don't. Even if they're sitting right next to you, you don't know what's happening to that person right now. The Holy Spirit knows every person in your life. He knows exactly what's happening to them right now. He knows diseases they have that you don't know about and they don't know about. He knows me. He knows you. He knows yesterday. He knows tomorrow. He knows God. He knows the devil. He knows everything. And you know, sometimes it's just kind of handy to have a person like that helping you out. And so I sit down to pray, and I pray with my understanding, and I pray certain prayers because I need to pray with my understanding, because I need to know certain things that I've prayed about. And I'm articulating to God certain things that are important. But there comes a point in time in my prayer life, I've gone to the edge of my understanding, but there's so much more out there that I need to pray for. And if I would let the Holy Spirit pray through me with a language too deep for my earthly language, He would intercede for me always according to the will of God. And He would use me as the vessel, spirit to spirit, praying from my spirit to God's spirit, always the perfect prayer. Always the perfect prayer. And my mind does not understand, but in my spirit I'm speaking mysteries, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for my children, I'm praying for my grandchildren, I'm praying for a person in a dangerous situation, I'm praying for tomorrow, I'm praying. I don't know what I'm praying about. The only thing I know is I trust Him. And I've done this for 30 years, and when it says that he who prays in a tongue edifies himself, the word means feed. He who prays in a tongue feeds himself. And I've done this for many years, and I'm telling you, when I pray in the Spirit, it's like a gas hose from heaven fills up my spirit. And I feel more sensitive to God, more powerful in the realm of the Spirit, more able to live the life that I'm supposed to live. And I've heard people, you know, and preachers and they preach against speaking in tongues. I don't understand that. You know, I mean, it's just in the Bible. You know, I don't know. Anyway. Number three thing that helps our prayers is prayers of agreement. This is another power secret of prayer. Matthew 18, again I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now we know, based on what I preached on 2 weeks ago, that the bulk of our prayer life is in our secret place with God. Is that there is a place for corporate prayer, but the bulk of our prayer life has to be in the secret place with God. But I want you to listen. There are times that God will not answer a prayer until we pray with somebody else. God loves the intimacy that He has with us in our prayer closet, but God hates loneliness and isolation and independence. And there are certain prayers that you're going to pray at certain times, and God's not going to answer until you go and ask someone to agree with you. The wonderful thing about this, it doesn't say, where 19,000 or 20,000 are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And you're thinking, goodness, where could I find a crowd like that? Just find a warm Christian body, grab onto it, and ask them to pray. You got a deal right there. Where two are gathered in my name, and that's a couple, that's friends, that's companions, those are people. Two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. And what God is saying is, there are times, I don't want you by yourself, I want you praying with somebody else. You need the encouragement. You also need the accountability. And this is James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When it says confess your trespasses to one another, we shouldn't tell everybody our problems. But there are things that we struggle with personally, maybe a sin or an issue that we struggle with that maybe we don't want to tell anybody else about, and that's the problem. Sometimes we have a pride issue. Sometimes we have an accountability issue. And what God says is this: don't go tell everybody your problems, but you find somebody mature in the Lord. You find a life group leader, a pastor, a friend who's mature in the Lord, and you go to that person and say, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling with these thoughts. I'm really struggling with these feelings. I'm really struggling forgiving so-and-so. And I've struggled with this, and I'm tired of struggling with it, and the devil's got me over by myself, beating me up, and I just need some help. Like, can I tell you something, y'all? We're all in the same boat. Did you know that? We all have the same issues. And we just need friends in the Lord that are honest, that we can go and be honest with. Sometimes God will just smoke you out of that dark corner that you get in. And even though we have our prayer closet, which is a special place, there are just simply times that God opens the door of that prayer closet and says, you go tell somebody else, because we need each other. And number four thing that is the power secret of prayer in the Bible is fasting. Fasting means giving up food or other pleasures for a period of time for the purpose of seeking God and praying for a special issue. Matthew 9, this is when Jesus cast the demon out of the little boy. By the way, the demon was trying to throw him into the fire or the water, trying to kill him. And Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Then Matthew 6, this is where Jesus was teaching the Lord prayer. He said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God doesn't get any pleasure out of watching us hurt. And you're saying, well, I really need an answer to prayer. You know, we really have this financial need or whatever. And there's this little voice that says, if you would fast water only for 40 days, God would hear your prayer. Like Jesus did in the wilderness. And you're thinking, I've never gone without a Snickers for 3 hours. And how could I do this? Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want to watch us hurt. That's not the deal. Here's the deal. Our flesh can become such a brat. When I talk about our flesh, our bodies are God's creation. They're wonderful. But there's a sin side of us that's selfish and demanding and fallen. And it wants to control our lives. Be it our fleshly appetites or entertainment or whatever. There comes a time when you say to your worldly appetites, you're not the boss of me. The boss of me is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to take a period of time, and I'm not going to eat this for the next day. And I'm going to turn my TV off, and I'm going to do this and this and this for the next day. And the purpose of this day is I'm tuning the world down and I'm tuning God up, because I need to be more sensitive to God and I need an answer to prayer. And God will never ask you to do anything fasting that is beyond what you can do and that He'll give you grace to do. God doesn't look down and watch us hurt and say, if you just hurt a little bit more, finally maybe you'd get a tear out of mine, I'd do something for you. Well, that's crazy. He's a good God. It's just an issue of making sure the world and the pleasures of the world are not controlling our lives. Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Well, what does that mean? Fasting increases our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You hear God better when you fast. I'm telling you, if you need to hear God, fast. And when you fast, just maybe give up meat, or maybe you give up sugar, or you don't have to go water only. You might go water only or juice only or something like that. But I tell you, you'll hear God better. Number two, you do have more power when you come out of a fast, spiritual power. Jesus, it says, when He came out of 40 days in the wilderness, He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit and did miracles. And so when He says this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, what it means is when you fast, Jesus knew the identity of that demon in that boy that others did not know, because Jesus was sensitive to it. And secondly, He had the spiritual power to displace that demon and make it go away because of His closeness to God and the reign that He had over His flesh.
Thank you for listening. This is the conclusion of the series Moving the Heart of God by Jimmy Evans. For more information or additional resources by Jimmy Evans, please write to Marriage Today, Post Office Box 59888, Dallas, Texas, 75229. Call 1-800-380-6330 or visit the Marriage Today website at marriagetoday.com.